Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, October 27th, 2020, coming to you from my home studio, and we start on the front page, Decatur Public Library Recognizing Readers. Reader of the Week puts spotlight on kids and books they enjoy. This article's by Donette Beckett. The librarians in the Decatur Public Library Children's Department are relying on kids to help them with their work. Neither is complaining about their new roles. The library recently implemented the Reader of the Week, a spotlight on local readers and their favorite books. Blake Wallace's 5-year-old son Bryant was one of the first children to receive the honor of Reader of the Week. "You're doing librarian work," librarian assistant Susan Bishop told the youngster during a recent visit to the library. The special recognition includes the children's images and profiles on the library's website and a listing of suggested favorite books. "It's a nice way to highlight the kids in the community that are interested in reading," Wallace said. The kindergartner would have attended Johns Hill High School this year. Since he has yet to be in a classroom, Bryant is learning what he can virtually, as well as through the books he checks out and in his own library. "We work with him at home," his dad said, but we were looking forward to him getting in the classroom set up for social reasons. According to Wallace, Bryant wanted to be calm when he found out he was chosen as Reader of the Week. "He tries to play it cool," Wallace said. "But once Grandma called and some aunts and uncles called, he got pretty excited. He thought he was a superstar. The honor motivated him even more. He was more excited about getting more books," Wallace said. "It made him want to dive deeper into reading." The Decatur Public Library Children's Department staff created the Reader of the Week website to highlight their audience as well as the books. "When kids hear from other kids what they're enjoying reading, it has a different kind of impact," Bishop said. The program began in July. Each week, the staff chooses one or two children to be featured. Other children can select the Reader of the Week's favorite books through the library's website. To be chosen for Reader of the Week, families submit information including the child's name, photo, age, and school, other interests, and a list of 5 to 10 of his or her favorite books. Ages range from toddler to 14 years old. "They can be reading or just listening to books," Bishop said. Bedtime is an important reading time for the Wallace family. Some of Bryant's favorites include the popular Dr. Seuss classics Goodnight Moon by Margaret Wise Brown, Corduroy by Don Freeman, and Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak. "When Grandma Gives You a Lemon Tree" by Jamie L.B. Dinahan is a new favorite book. "I learned that I know how to make lemonade," Bryant said. The recognition is important to the parents as well. Any way you can highlight a child for something that's as good as a reading habit or the children that love to read at an age when that's not always the case with some of the electronics, I think it's awesome, Wallace said. And to see his reaction, it really made his day. 7-year-old Macy McCroskey visits the library once a week. "It's the highlight of her entire week," her mother, Kara McCroskey, said, "and being selected as Reader of the Week makes her feel like she belongs." The second grader said she likes to read. "I read more books than anybody I know," she said, "so this is pretty cool." According to Macy's mother, the little girl was excited about the Reader of the Week recognition and her achievement. "It helps her engage more with reading, with the community, and with the librarian," she said. "She has a very special bond with them." Macy kept up with her reading during the summer and the pandemic. The library provided her a place to go and stay connected to reading. As a homeschooler, the library is also a resource for her education and socialization. Macy's favorite books include Magic Treehouse books, Geronimo Stilton books, and baking books. She also studied some of the other honorees lists. "We're always looking for interesting new books at her grade level," Kara McCroskey said. Bryant understands the importance of his new role. but the 5-year-old doesn't take it too seriously. I just like reading, he said. Well, good for him. Sidebar here, Reader of the Week. To learn more about the Decatur Public Library's Reader of the Week, visit decaturlibrary.org/reader-of-the-week. And a really great photo that accompanies the article here. It's of Bryant Wallace, and it's taken from his right side looking left as he is standing in front of rows and rows of books. So Bryant Wallace looks for books in the children's department at the Decatur Public Library. The 5-year-old was recently named a Reader of the Week. The honor celebrates the love of reading. And Bryant has a book in his hand. We can't quite see the title because of the angle of the photo, but he is looks like maybe getting his next book to read. And there's another sidebar here, hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or of a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Well, if so, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett@herald-review.com. We move on to the Faith article here. Ex-Forsyth hometown buffet gets new use as church. Morthland Junior Church will be welcome to anyone and everyone. This is by Valerie Wells, Forsyth. John Morthland Jr. is, by his own description, an unconventional pastor. Wearing a Jerry Garcia t-shirt with visible tattoos and the kind of hairstyle you might see on a guy in a heavy metal band, Morthland is focused on only one thing in his ministry, Jesus. I have a vision of getting church out of stained glass and getting it out of a church building and being more like what I believe that we were taught in the Bible that the church should be, said Morthland, who is pastor of New Testament Church of Decatur, which will meet in the former Hometown Buffet building in Forsyth when the remodeling currently underway is complete. The 994 U.S. Highway 51 restaurant opened in the 1990s and closed in 2016. An assistant pastor at Lampstand Church, Morthland said, his life was changed by attending the Great Banquet, a week retreat designed to strengthen and renew the faith of Christians. New Testament will host Great Banquet events in January at Camp One Way to offer that opportunity to others. If you've grown up in this community, this place is a sore spot, Morthland said. I live in Moroa, and I drive by this place every day of my life, and what I've found out is that every time I drive by this building, I think about the fact that I have such good memories here, such sweet memories, eating with family and friends. The church, he said, is more about people than buildings. New Testament, he said, won't even be open on Sundays so that people are free to continue attending services in their usual church. What New Testament will be, he said, is a mission. It's not about come to my church, he said. We are the body of Christ and our community has so much division. That trickles down a lot from the Christian community. It has a lot of division. We have so many different denominations, and a lot of that division trickles down to our community in a lot of ways. The building, when complete, will have an open floor plan with no walls, which will be symbolic of removing barriers between people. One area will be for eating and meeting together to chat, and food will always be a part of New Testament gatherings. One area will be for children, with comfortable seating like couches and child-sized seating. One area will be for worship and Bible study. Without walls in between, people will be able to concentrate on worship if they choose. Children can play and overhear worship without necessarily being in the thick of it, and the folks eating and chatting can go ahead and do that too. What Jesus taught us in the Bible is that the ground is level at the cross, Morthland said. We are all valued by God the same. I see the Christian faith as more than the religious boundaries. It's about a relationship between a person and their Creator. Jesus has love and acceptance for everybody. No one came into His presence and left judged by Him. No one. The ultimate goal, he said, is for the church to be a place where denomination doesn't matter and where Christians can go out together and be like the church in Acts 2 in the Bible. Meeting people's needs, such as dropping off groceries with a simple Jesus loves you and not accompanied by pressure to attend a service, being in fellowship together, welcoming anyone and everyone, whether they have a church background or not. He said he meets so many people who don't feel welcome in typical churches. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Morthland said. Its location at Hometown Buffet's former building is likely very temporary, he said. The building is for sale and he doesn't have a long-term lease. But it's a place to start. An open house is planned for 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday, November 14th. With O'Charlie's, Pizza Hut, and Pier 1 also empty in the same retail neighborhood, filling one of the buildings even temporarily will increase traffic there. Jake Smith, Economic Development Director for the Village of Forsyth, said the village is always glad to see new businesses and organizations, though he was not aware the church was planning to open in the former restaurant. "This is a great retail district, and we're excited to see those buildings get filled with a variety of uses," he said. "This is a new organization, and we're looking forward to welcoming them to town." And a photo that accompanies the article here. John Morthland Sr. left, and Rob Irwin replaced ceiling tiles in the former Hometown Buffet building in Forsyth. The location, which closed as a restaurant in 2016, will be home to New Testament Church of Decatur. And we still see a buffet station in the background and banquettes and seating, so it looks like they have some work yet to do, but they're on it. Macon County sheriff ballot recount gets delayed again. Tony Reed, Decatur. The much-anticipated court case to decide who really won the election for Macon County Sheriff in 2018 is delayed yet again, but a key attorney in the legal proceedings, speaking Monday, said progress is being made in whittling the number of disputed ballots that the judge will have to rule on. Those ballots, which had stood at more than 1,300, have now been narrowed to around 230 after lawyers for both sides held conferences last week to figure out and agree whom the votes were intended for. The court hearing in Macon County Circuit Court to try and sort out the disputed election was due to have gotten underway Tuesday, with a second day set for Thursday. New court dates are now scheduled for December 10th and December 14th, and the hope is the final tally of disputed ballots, which the judge, Champaign County Court Circuit Judge Anna M. Benjamin, will have to rule on, will shrink even further before then. At issue is whether more voters marked their ballots for Sheriff Tony Brown, a Democrat who had been declared the winner by just one vote in 2018, or for his Republican rival, Lieutenant Jim Root, who filed a legal complaint contesting the outcome. Brown was recorded as getting 19,655 votes to Root's total of 19,654. Both law enforcement officers had agreed to a hand recount in July that lasted a week and still left Brown the winner, but with a bigger margin. He had 18,982 undisputed votes compared to Root's recounted tally of 18,964. Some 1,337 ballots were mutually agreed to be put aside at the time of the recount as not being clear as to the voters' intentions. John Fogarty, the attorney for Root, said reducing that number to 230 represented substantial progress in moving the case forward, and I think we are going to be able to lop it even further by examining the ballots again, said Fogarty, who said more meetings between the attorneys were scheduled. This is the second time the court case has been delayed, but Fogarty said sorting through the ballots was making the proceedings more manageable. He said at one time 4 days had been deemed necessary to argue over the disputed ballots, and now it was being scheduled for just 2 days. And none of the attorneys relished the thought of standing in front of the judge and making her look at 230 separate ballots, he added. I think we will be able to just really streamline the issues so that there will be very few actual particular ballots she will need to look at. Sheriff Brown and his attorney, Chris Scherer, could not be reached for comment. Root, speaking Monday evening, said he was patient and confident. I'm still looking forward to my day in court, he said. The ballot sorting will hopefully make it a little bit easier when it comes to the trial and the arguments. So it's a delay, but it's not going to stop the inevitable that we do have a day in court date. Okay, moving on. Local and state, page A3. Man Who Tried to Kill Burglar Gets 12 Years. Decatur, by Tony Reed. James H. Ballard, convicted of almost stabbing the Decatur burglar to death who stole his television, was sentenced to 12 years in prison Monday. Ballard, 46, had been convicted of attempted murder by Macon County Circuit Court Judge Jeffrey Geisler after a one-day bench trial August 31st. He also was convicted of committing aggravated battery involving great bodily harm and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon for plunging a knife into the chest of 35-year-old Lloyd V. Smith on December 14, 2019. Given the conviction on the most serious charge, the judge agreed to merge the other charges into the attempted murder conviction and cover them with that sentence. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police about the crime said patrol officers found Smith just after 12 a.m., and he told them he had been stabbed outside an apartment building in the 300 block of North Monroe Street. Describing the stab wound, the affidavit said officers could clearly see through the wound and inside the chest area of Lloyd. Before he was loaded into an ambulance, Smith said Bump had been the man who had stabbed him. Police knew Bump to be Ballard and also knew that Smith was the prime suspect in the burglary in which Ballard's television had been stolen. Ballard's girlfriend told police he made statements threatening to get Smith and later, while under arrest, is quoted as telling detectives, "I'll go to jail, I'll do life, I don't give an expletive, he ain't gonna take nothing from me." Prosecuting at the sentence hearing, Assistant Macon County State's Attorney Kristen Krivonik said surgeons had to immediately intervene to save Smith, whose chest wound was so deep it had made sucking sounds as he breathed. Calling for a 20-year sentence, she described Ballard as a persistent criminal with a string of previous convictions. He had been sentenced to 15 years in prison in 2002 after a jury convicted him of being a cocaine dealer, and in 2018 he was given a 1.5-year sentence for pleading guilty to 3 counts of harboring 3 fugitives wanted for murder. Ballard, represented by defense attorney Scott Reuter, had begun Monday's sentencing hearing with motions for his conviction to be overturned. He argued recorded calls the prosecution said he made from jail should not have been introduced into evidence, and he also stuck to his central claim that he wounded Smith in self-defense. Rising to address the judge, Ballard apologized to Geisler for the court having to sentence me today, but he insisted he had been fighting for his life. "I am sorry that you didn't think I was credible enough. I thought my life was important, and I was scared for my life," he added. After Geisler rejected motions to overturn the conviction or grant a new trial, Reuter appealed for mercy on Ballard and said while his client had a significant record, his most serious offenses had been committed when he was much younger. He also said Smith was not without blame for a burglary that provoked Ballard's anger. "I would suggest to Your Honor that Mr. Ballard is not a great threat to the community," added Reuter, who asked for a sentence in the range of 8 to 10 years. After Geisler handed down the 12-year term of imprisonment, Reuter filed notice of appeal. Smith, meanwhile, is now serving a 4-year sentence after pleading guilty in January to a charge of residential burglary. Man pleads guilty to child sex assault, Dave Fope, Charleston. A man received an 18-year prison sentence Monday when he admitted engaging in a sex act with a child in Mattoon 3 years ago. Casey Raj Kumar pleaded guilty to a charge of predatory criminal sexual assault of a child with the agreement on the sentence that the conviction that required a prison term of 6 to 60 years. Raj Kumar, 29, for whom records show a Decatur address, had also been charged with molesting 2 other children during the same time in 2017 when he was staying at their home in Mattoon. He would have faced a requirement of life, a life prison term, had he been convicted of child sex assault charges with more than one victim. The charge to which he pleaded guilty accused him of engaging in a sex act with a boy on September 29, 2017, when the child was 7 years old. Raj Kumar was originally charged in October 2017 with 2 counts of predatory criminal sexual assault of a child, Six additional counts were added to the case in February 2018. The additional charges were dismissed as part of the agreement reached in the case Monday. Police records in this case say one of the children, who was 5 years old when the acts were reported, told investigators that Raj Kumar engaged in sex acts several times during 2017. Another child, now 11 years old, described a sex act by Raj Kumar that allegedly took place on September 29th, 2017, the records say. That was what led to the charge to which Raj Kumar pleaded guilty. Also, the mother of the third child, a boy who was 5 years old at the time, told her Raj Kumar performed an act of oral sex on him, according to the case records. Coles County Circuit Judge James Glenn accepted the plea agreement prosecuting and defense attorneys recommended and imposed the prison term. Jennifer Mudge of the Illinois Appellate Prosecutor's Office prosecuted the case, and County Assistant Public Defender Stephanie Corum represented Raj Kumar. Mudge was assigned to the case in 2019 at the request of the Coles County State's Attorney's Office. State's Attorney Jesse Danley, who was an assistant public defender at the time the case was filed, originally represented Raj Kumar. There was also a change at one point in Raj Kumar's attorney, and those changes, along with examinations addressing Raj Kumar's mental condition, contributed to the delays in the case. Raj Kumar will be required to serve at least 85% of the sentence imposed before he's eligible for parole. He received credit on his sentence for the time in custody since his arrest. Man police say shot at officer faces charges. Tony Reed, Decatur. New details have emerged about the incident in which a fleeing Decatur man is accused of leveling his pistol at an approaching police officer's squad car and firing it. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said Sergeant Steve Hagemeyer, who made headlines 2 years ago when he was badly injured after his patrol car was smashed into by a drunk driver, did not return fire in the 1 a.m. Friday confrontation. Instead, the affidavit describes the sergeant stopping within 150 feet of the alleged gunman, David M. Cotton, and illuminating him with his high-beam lights as Cotton fled into a vacant lot in the 1100 block of East Leafland Avenue. Hagemeyer is described as maintaining his position, cutting off means of escape in that direction as more police officers flooded into the area. The affidavit said a police dog called Rex tracked Cotton to a nearby house where he was arrested without incident. Police said they recovered a bag of .40 caliber and .45 caliber ammunition, but the affidavit makes no mention of locating the weapon used. Cotton was jailed on preliminary charges of the aggravated discharge of a firearm and possession of a firearm by a felon. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state attorney's office. Writing in the affidavit, Detective Adam Seifman said Hagemeyer had been on patrol in the 2600 block of North Jasper Street when he heard 4 or 5 gunshots and went to investigate. As he drove, police dispatchers said they were getting calls of shots fired in the 1000 block of East Leafland Avenue, and Hagemeyer soon radioed back he'd heard another gunshot as he approached the area. He then located a man later identified as Cotton walking across the roadway in the 100 block of East Leafland and saw 2 muzzle flashes as the man fired 2 shots into the air, Seifman said. As Sergeant Hagemeyer continued driving eastbound toward the intersection of East Leafland Avenue and North Illinois Street, the subject turned toward his vehicle, raised what appeared to be his right arm, and fired another shot toward the patrol vehicle, said Seifman. Sergeant Hagemeyer could see the muzzle flash toward his direction. The affidavit notes Cotton has a previous conviction for possession of a firearm with a defaced serial number. Macon County Circuit Court records show he pleaded guilty and was sent to prison for 4 years in 2016. In the collision with the drunk driver 2 years ago in February 2018, news reports said Hageman had been lucky to escape with his life when his patrol vehicle was rammed by the driver who had run a red light. The sergeant had to be cut free of the wreckage by firefighters, and it took him weeks to recover from unspecified injuries subsequent police reports only described as serious. A check of Macon County jail records Monday showed that Cotton is being held without bail set at $750,000, meaning he must post $75,000 to be released. Okay. Looking for our next article here. Thanks for your patience. Well, it might be a little light today. Let's just look. Well, let's do this. It is a rather light day for the paper. We'll do two of these. We'll do WCI 4-day forecast now and then also in the second half hour. So today, 48, mostly cloudy, wind north 5 to 10. Tonight, 37, mostly cloudy, wind west 2 to 5. Wednesday, high of 58, low of 45, partly cloudy. Afternoon rain, wind northeast 5 to 10. Thursday, high of 53, low of 37, mostly cloudy and rain. Wind northeast 15 to 25. And Friday, high of 52, low of 34, partly cloudy. Wind north 5 to 10. And the regional outlook says, due to a low pressure system coming up from the southern plains, rainfall will be quite widespread Wednesday night into Thursday. Once that system passes, high pressure will take over, bringing sunshine. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, October 27, 2020. We'll take a short break now, but stay with us. We'll return with the second half hour very soon.